Tracy, it's a beautiful day at Coors Field today, isn't it?
It's great. I mean, it's the temperature's great. The sun's out. There's no wind. But they're telling us that by tomorrow it could be back to the mess we've been watching for the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about in the 40s. Yeah, it's supposed to be in the 40s tomorrow. It's supposed to be just around 40 here, but I don't think it's going to snow or anything, but it's going to be very chilly for tomorrow night's game, I think.
And rainy.
And, you know, I went to the game on Friday, the Cubs game, and sat through it, but it wasn't terrible until really late in the game, and of course it was 16-5 at that point, but I got to ask, has it always been that way? And listen, I know when the Yankees and Red Sox come, it's bad, but with the Cubs, in terms of the sheer number of Cubs fans that come out of the woodwork at Coors Field when they come into town?
Oh, I think more than any other team. I think the Cubs, by far, it's the strongest draw of all. There's, you know, nobody wants to live in Chicago, so you got to get out of there. But then all of a sudden you think you have to have an allegiance to the town you don't want to be part of, right?
Well, why did all the jackasses move out of Chicago and come to Denver? You know, why couldn't they send some nice people there?
Well, because the nice people like Chicago. They understand that you just adjust to your environment. It's kind of like those of us that love Wyoming. It's, you know, other people may not find the beauty of it. We do, but we know what's nice. And, you know, the people that stay in Chicago appreciate what they have. The other people are snobs.
I think it's amazing how, I don't want to say simple, but you can simplify this game. You get good starting pitching, chances of you winning are pretty high. And in two of the three games, losses this weekend, Gray and Marquez just didn't have it to give the Rockies the win. And it's amazing what starting pitching will do. And when you don't have it, you really struggle.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think it's really underscored right now because, I mean, you're seeing a team that's in second place in the division, but it's a game over 500,
mm-hmm.
and they're last in the league in runs scored, and they're last in the league in the batting average. So it tells you that something is lifting them up, and it is. You know, when they win, it's because basically the pitching really does a great job of getting it done.
Are you starting to see signs that the offense is coming around? I mean, it's been very inconsistent, but, you know, Trevor Story's starting to hit. Nolan is going to hit. Blackman has been hitting. But are you seeing signs that maybe they're breaking out of an overall funk a little bit?
Yeah, I think what you want to see some life come from Desmond. You know, Iannetta is going to be Iannetta, but you want to see a lot more of a lift come out of Desmond, and you want to see Cargo at least be a guy that's going to hit. Both those guys, they need to hit 270 to 280, and they're both capable of it. So I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, Story's going to hit about 245 when the year's over, and he's going to hit about 30 home runs, and he's going to have some really big games with it that way. He's going to play really good defense, and he's going to fit fine if everybody else does their job, you know. And I think at times we, in this world, we get too focused on today and not the big picture. I mean, yesterday, this one guy from one of these blogs says to ask Buddy Bell, or Buddy Black, said, you know, are you concerned about the problems Marquez is having with left-handed hitters? And you mean the fact that they were 2-for-4 for 40 against him until yesterday when he had a bad day?
So right.
4-for-40 in four games, they have a day where they go 7-for-9 against 7-for-9 against him. It's like, you know, in my mind, it's like maybe it was a bad day today, or were the other 4 days the good days? And this is the rule. I mean, we don't want to look and evaluate a whole picture anymore. We want to be able to put everything into a computer and come out and say, well, this is the answer to the question, as opposed to looking that everybody's at a different level. You know,
well, you know,
that's another subject.
The thing that's got me so far with the Rockies is, last year, now it was a little different, but you had a consistent lineup. It seems like so far this year, you just can't keep the, even when you're not, you know, giving a guy a day off or you're resting somebody, you can't keep the nine starters that you want on the field. You've always got, you know, there's always a Valinka, or there's always a McMahon, or there's always somebody, rather than just the starting nine, and they're still not getting production from those guys when they have to bring those bench players in.
It's tough when you have, it's one of the challenges as a manager, I think, is when you have young bench players. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've played every day in their life, right? They got to the big league. They didn't get to the big leagues because they're used to playing twice a week. You know, they're used to being the better players on their teams. You know, all the way from when they're in little league all the way up. And if they're prime prospects, they're used to being the better players on the teams in the minor leagues. And now they get to the big leagues, and they might get two at-bats, three at-bats in a week at times. And that's an adjustment. You know, it's like anything else. It's the mental part. I remember talking to Greg Pryor once. He had a big year for Kansas City coming off the bench in 84. And he said, in this role, you don't get really excited about that because next year I might have to play on the days that I don't feel good. I might have to play on the days that pitchers are particularly tough for me are pitching, because the days I play aren't the days that match up well for me. They're the days that Onyx and Concepcion or Frank White or George Brett need a day off. You know, it was like Bill Plummer said, I used to play with broken bones in my hands. And, you know, because I knew that Johnny Bench wasn't coming out very often. And if I wasn't available on those days, Sparky would just flush me and bring somebody else up to play 20 games a year. So it's a difficult role, I think, when you particularly put young guys in that have to create the mindset. I mean, they all say the right things, but it's still a challenge when you go out there and you don't get your regular turns.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. I was reading something on Bud Black talking about John Gray. Is there any concern with John Gray right now through five starts of the season?
Well, he's won one more game in April this year than he's ever won before.
Well, that's good.
I mean, there's this theory now, you can't face a guy three times through the lineup. Yeah, right. Well, it's conditioned a guy to think he can. Of course he's not going to be able to. You don't let him go out and pitch, of course they can. You know, all I know is, and I wasn't with him after he left Anaheim, when Nolan Ryan left Anaheim, he was 96-4 when he had a lead and he was on the mound in the ninth inning. Somehow he was able to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, Buddy and I talk about it, and like what we're trying to do now is dumb down the great pitchers to make a mediocre like everybody else. And I just think with John Gray, for whatever reason, I mean, he's been horrible in April every year he's been here. And I think, and even though he made the opening day start last year, nobody had expectations for the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year they have expectations, and he starts opening day, and now every time he pitches poorly, the sky's falling. And eventually, hopefully, Chicken Little can relax, and he'll get back to doing what he needs to do. But you know, it's like Freeland. Freeland really throws, has really had good games, except for one inning. And then it's like it unravels on him. And you know, people talk about Gray the third time through. Well, on opening day, the first four batters scored, right? That's not the third time through. That's the first four batters, and they didn't see San Diego all spring, so you can't even say they were familiar from spring training. It wasn't like Arizona, who they played eight times. And the other day, the first two batters scored. So there's a focus thing in there. There's him getting himself mentally to where he needs to be and focused.
Are you liking the DJ LeMahieu leading off and having Charlie and Nolan a little deeper in the lineup? Do you like that look right now?
It's okay. I don't mind it the other way either, because I think that Charlie leading off and DJ behind him is just going to put guys in scoring position for Nolan. I think the parts are pretty well interchangeable. If Charlie ran as much now as he did when he first came up, I'd rather see Charlie up there. But he's smart enough to realize that there's certain things he has to conserve his body on if he's going to play center field the way he does, and he's going to try to play 160 games, and that's one of the stealing bases.
Chris Russen on the DL. They bring in Hargrove. Serious for Russ? Huh?
Musgrave,
sorry. Any real concern on Russen? And tell us a little bit about Musgrave coming in.
They say that the intercostal, it's on the right side this time, not the left side, so that's not as severe, and it's not as bad as the one last year that knocked him out for an extended period of time, so he could be back quick. Jenny Kavner just walked by the way, Keith. I know she's your favorite Yes, that's just walked by anyway.
And Jenny hasn't been on. I mean, we haven't got the call for Jenny to come on, and I understand she is making a little history tonight, the first female play-by-play announcer on a regional sports network. So kudos to Jenny tonight.
Yeah, moved her right up the top of our list.
And if you in spring training, she actually did a game, and she was really good.
Oh, no, I think this could be the start of something.
And I wouldn't say that. You know me well enough. I don't hide what I think of Montgomery.
Is she still standing there, or did she walk on by?
She's gone.
Okay.
Yes, you alum. I mean, you don't want to say those things so she can hear you.
Tracy.
Well, I heard yesterday that Bud Black, or was it, when was it? He said something about, you know, the man, you know, or they're basically, you're one of the men or whatever. And he said you're one when it comes to sports writing. So he had a nice compliment for you.
That's because he remembers me from when he was a baby. We called him up from Lynn, Massachusetts in the spring, in the September of 81 in Seattle. So, and then I was in Kansas City with him. So he's prejudiced.
Very good. Tracy, enjoy the game tonight. We'll chat next week. Thanks so much for joining us.
I hope so. I'm going to get on Jenny for blowing you guys off.
Yeah.
It's AT&T Sportsnet. I mean, I guess I could shoot her a text, but, you know, I don't want to bug her.
I'm going to.
All right.
Yeah, tell her, you know, tell her we're A, disappointed. Tell her congratulations. We're wishing her good luck.
Thank you, Tracy.
I'm going to tell her that you remember when she was so small she needed you.
tell her now she's got big time on us.
Big time. All right, Trace. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay.
See you. Bye.